be up to the homeowners association in Huntington Meadows, so.
Scoot it.
I think you all have her application in front of you, and we can, why don't you, Kathy, just tell us a little bit about why you'd like to be on the city council?
Okay. I just, I'm excited about the city, and I think we have a fantastic opportunity to build a community that is safe and healthy and happy and continually growing, that can satisfy the needs of seniors and youth and everybody that's involved. And I believe in keeping an open, honest communication between individuals and businesses. It takes a lot to keep everything going, and miscommunication can be a huge stumble. So I think it's important to keep the wisdom and the honesty. And it's exciting. There's going to be a lot of wonderful things happen here, and there's going to be some stumbling blocks and challenges that have to be met. And I certainly in no way claim to have all the answers. But what I am willing to do is work to come to the best decision that we possibly can. And am I turning red?
No. You're fine. That's great. Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. Anything else?
No. I think that's it.
Any
being on.
Dan?
Well, I just, you know, one of the things when I first met Kathy is she called and said, man, we have some things going on in our neighborhood. Is there, what do you suggest, you know? And I thought that was really neat. She took the initiative to see what she could do to improve her neighborhood and that kind of thing. And you know, we chatted a few times, and I think Stu met with some of the people over there at the library or someplace and just tried to sort out in a real logical manner. I appreciated your approach to that and the way you're trying to help your part of the neighborhood and now how you've kind of stepped up to see if you can help the whole city, I guess.
Yeah.
But and I don't know if I have any specific questions, but I just wanted to say that I appreciate your willingness to do what you've already done and that you've sought the city's cooperation in that process and sought other people's wisdom, because none of us have all the answers, and together we try to do the best we can. So I think that's good. I was kind of curious about your email address.
Oh. Yeah, that is interesting.
No.
It's a song.
Oh, okay.
Don, you...
I have no questions.
Okay. Stu?
I don't have any questions, but I want to echo what Dan said, you know, that how you, I appreciated the way that you brought the, or were part of that group that brought everything to the attention of the city out at Huntington Meadows, and taking the initiative to go beyond and even assist with the, I think it was the Neighborhood Watch program.
Mm-hmm.
Over there through the sheriff's office.
Yeah.
And you know, that shows a lot to take on that initiative, so I appreciate that just as I'm sure everybody else does. And so
it has, it's been a process. The last meeting we had was with the fire department, the sheriff, you guys, everybody we could get involved, and the challenge is getting property management people involved, and that's going to be a challenge. So, just in that little aspect, so I can imagine when you incorporate the entire city, the type of small challenges you meet that take a long time to resolve. Sometimes they're not always overnight solutions. So, you just keep working at it.
Well, I took Steve. We went and we drove every street over in Huntington Meadows yesterday.
And again today.
Yeah.
He's so, very schooled in those streets over there.
Yeah.
So that, you know, he's aware of the complaints we've had in the past. We've met from house to house and said, this is what we've had here and this one here. So that he has an understanding of some of the issues over there. So I think the city's committed to helping out Huntington Meadows. I mean, you know.
That'd be wonderful.
I think I'd just mention along the lines of what she said about the last meeting they had. Don Greiner and I went to that meeting representing the city, just to answer questions, and we did. We had a fire, the deputy fire chief was there, and Sergeant Egan was there, and there was, must have had 30 people in there. This was at the library. It was a great turnout on a Sunday afternoon, and there was a great deal of questions, you know, from foreclosures and what that meant, and, you know, cars sitting out in the street, and, you know, people getting beat up on the sidewalk, you know, and not the kind of response you would expect from the sheriff's department. And some of that was some of that, well, we can't do much, or, you know. So I thought it was a fantastic meeting because it showed the strength that these citizens and their neighborhood had to help resolve a problem or to take it in their own hands to try to find some solution. And my input to them was, we haven't seen you at the city council, so please come. And we did. Shortly thereafter, they come before the city council and spoke about all the problems. And of course, I know Rick knows a lot about it. And part of what we talked about that night was the fact that we had a new city manager coming on board, and it will be one of the things that he will start looking at, and he already has. So I think the city council can do something. And you know, your expertise there would carry that along. So I appreciate your application, and I know the rest of us do. So do you have anything to ask of the council?
No, I think I'm good. I've been attending as much as I could the last couple of months, and there's just so much to learn. I realize that. There's a lot to learn. There's a lot going on, and a lot to catch up with.
All right. Well, Kathy, I'd like to thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome. Thank you.
The 14th is when we would have that on the agenda.
Okay.
And if your plan was to have it at the beginning of the meeting, then she would be sworn in and
participate.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're gonna get the kids to bed.
Yeah.
City logo and seal.
Well, I'm gonna guide you guys. In your packet, Renee, Matt
was willing to spend some time to update this, and so there are some different examples, and it's really all up to you what you want. I know you have ideas, and maybe each one of you have different ideas, and if anybody wants to come up and look at the ones that are here in the packet, you're welcome to. And these are just some ideas. There's nothing written in concrete. These two are the latest ones that came in today. So I think you've got a few to choose from. Some of them resemble what was done on the clock. And so trying to keep with the saw blade theme seems to be what kind of adopted just to use. And we do have permission to use it.
This is the one that's in the city sign out here, isn't it?
I think it's this one. Yeah, Small Town Bright Future.
Is that back here on this?
I believe it is. Either that or it's this one here. Established 1910. I'd have to go out and look at it.
No.
But I won't.
Don, I'm going to pass this around. This is I'm going to pass around a badge that the Lions has had manufactured associated with the use of the saw blade design that we see up here in the little park area. I guess so. Here's Steve. I guess I'm just thinking about, are we talking about selecting one of these? Are we talking about our letterhead and our everything that we're going to use? Because the council has already decided to use one of these, something like this one. As the letterhead, and that's what we've been using up until now, I believe. So, my only input at this point in time is that I just think I'd like to see it discussed around town with the other organizations, because I think that when people go out, or leaders of different organizations in town go out and about, as we sit in meetings and stuff like that, and we pass our business cards out, it might be to our advantage that everybody uses the same logo, or we get enough people agreeing in the major organizations, from the you know, the chamber, the Lions Club, everybody. They see the same logo, you know. So that's a reservation I have about deciding on a specific one other than what we've been using at this point in time.
I like the idea of staying consistent with this style, but there's so many different variations that still carries that same style along, you know. And I also like the idea, I always like to get other people's input. But we are the city of Lapine. Mm-hmm. I kind of think if we're going to use it on our letterhead, it's kind of nice it says the city of Lapine. Then the other thing that could be confusing is if we say established 1910, even though we were recognized in 1910, the city was established in 06. So it seems like to me that those are two things that could just create confusion if you didn't say City of Lapine and the 06, you know, or not put any date on it. But and then the Small Town Bright Future, I love that, but I don't know if it's that forever, you know. It probably, I think it's great. I don't know. I don't have any strong feelings on that. It could go with or without as far as I'm concerned, and maybe that's something the community could pitch in on it. But I do agree with you that having something consistent that we stay with instead of always a new brand every week, you know, or every year, it lends to the sense of stability that we have in the community when we put something up there and consistently use it.
Well, it's going forth with one face.
Yeah.
You know. I've got a feeling that there can be 42 different desires here. I mean, there's so much. For instance, you notice on this logo or this badge, you've got Lapine, Oregon, and then you've got Small Town Bright Future. One of the problems with all of this is, and I've talked to Robin about this, because I have this on my business card. And believe it or not, I left my billfold at home. So. But it's real difficult to manage that color scheme that's down here in the stone masonry area. Mm-hmm. And they've done a very good job of it. And what they've done is they've moved this Small Town Bright Future up and put Lapine Lions Club underneath it. Mm-hmm. You've still got Lapine, Oregon, which jumps right out at somebody when they see it. Well, we're looking at something from Lapine. And then they can tell that down below that this is the organization we're dealing with. City of Lapine, Lions Club, Chamber of Commerce, Lapine Community Action Team, whatever. So,
you know, having the state on there is a good thing, though. If it, or again, because a lot of your material will end up outside of the state or in some part that maybe isn't too familiar with Lapine.
So where else would you put that other than in this section right here? You know, sure. While we say Lapine,
yeah,
I mean, Lapine, Oregon is what I'm thinking that's what's on that saw blade, Lapine, Oregon.
It seems like it.
But, so that really identifies where you are.
Yeah.
I mean.
A logo is usually, remember, it's supposed to be identified quickly. McDonald's is an M. There's a couple things. If you're driving by this sign out here, you probably know what state you're in. If you should. on a letterhead or a business card, you're going to have your address, and it's going to say da 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 da, Lapine, Oregon, a zip code. You normally wouldn't probably. I mean, this shouldn't be too cluttered. It's kind of like the like you said, the established.
Yeah.
A logo. I mean, people don't look the small, the size of this logo on a business card. You will not see that number.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So, the logo isn't to be cluttered with all the information that you want on a document. If you use it as a flyer, the flyer is going to say, "Come to the Lapine Event Center." Whatever you're using it for. Right. The logo is just something that's up in the corner or in the middle, I mean, depending on where you use it, on the end of a banner, that gives you some color, City of Lapine, and then the message.
Yeah.
So don't try to put the message in the logo.
In the logo.
Good point.
And you'll see throughout the state, if you go to the websites, that they've got logos that are so clustered. They've got trees, streams, mountains, skiers, fish.
The Delph. It's a bend. It's a B. It's a city with a B with a bend in the middle of it.
No, it's that big long one that has the river and has the mountains.
Oh, that's right. Someone must use a rounder with bend in it.
Yeah, there is one.
There is one. Do you have the bend bug that used to be when they were older?
The city of Dallas is the D.
There's a couple things you could do. One idea is when I get, I hate logo discussions, and I've been through enough of them.
Yeah.
I first look and see if there's two or three that we don't like.
Yeah.
There you go.
The other thing is you could take this, if this is where you seem to be going, is there's nothing wrong with at times having kind of a tagline, the sure. Lions puts lions, or in this case you want to use the small bright future if.
Yeah.
But the 90% of the logo is the same. It's the saw blade with the colors, City of Lapine. And that becomes consistent.
Yeah.
And depending on what you're putting it on, if you're sitting on an economic development flyer, you throw this on. If it's, because even on a business card, that's going to be impossible to read on a business card. So why have it? Just have this. And then what we need to do is come up with a he got some new business cards yesterday, and the Honorable Mayor got his business cards, and you think he's in two different cities. And so what we need to do is come up with a standard. And then so when you get different councilmen and staff, you simply put in titles and names. Not each person generally doesn't get to pick how they want their business card to look.
That goes to it. The City of Lapine emblem is for City of Lapine use. Mm-hmm. It won't go to the chamber to use the same.
Well, they wouldn't want City of Lapine on it.
Right. So you don't have to worry about it saying the Lions Club or Chamber of Commerce. It's going to be City of Lapine, City of Lapine. So you won't have that problem to worry about.
Mm-hmm. Well, those organizations can put their tagline right underneath it.
No, they shouldn't even be using the same City of Lapine. It's like the Chamber has their own logo. Yeah. The Lions have their logo. This would be the City of Lapine.
And you also have to make sure it looks good black and white.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this would okay, because remember, newspapers and things often are black and white. If you're going to print 1,000 copies of something, you're not going to spend color copies at so many cents a piece when you can run it through a copier at 2 cents. So one of the things I always say is print your logo black and white, print it colored. Make sure it looks good both ways. Because if you come up with, like this one, black and white may get harder.
It is.
Because you got, it just,
too
the only reason that stands out, you got the blue behind it. You make that black and white, it gets tougher. So, this works black and white.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not you want to be established 1990, you want the City of Lapine, but.
Yeah.
Pick something would be nice, I think, so Steve and them can go out and have someone design what our business card could look like. And then, then those who need business cards, you'd order them up, plug in different people's names and titles. And that's consistent. What we use for a while. The other thing is, when we get sewer and water, we'll have statements going out to 600 people every month. You'll want these on the bills. We need to come up with something that's pretty simple and nice, that will look good and identify the city when these 600 bills go out. You know, our recognition level is going to skyrocket. Mm-hmm.
And in that is some of the idea that having a community, there's nothing wrong with us picking what we're going to use now and moving down the road with that. But having a community discussion about coming up with a pretty standard. I like the idea of everybody having some derivation of this, so that when they pick up, you know, when they when somebody gets a letter, they're going to see this. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to see the basicness of the top of this and the saw blade.
You could, you know, have, instead of that established thing, you could have the Pine Oregon, and that would be more generic for others to use. Like the hub in Redmond, they're using that
throughout
in the community. And so I think what you're probably doing, I bet the chamber may have the chamber logo, then maybe somewhere on there they throw in this hub.
Yeah.
I doubt in the hub.
It's kind of a brand.
Yeah, does it say City of Redmond in it? I doubt.
It has a year on it. The year is established is on Redmond, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I think ours ought to say City of La Pine.
Yeah.
You know.
But this has been talked about for a long time, and it was a big thing for you guys. So I think for the staff here, we really would like you guys to decide what you would like for your city, and we'll make sure that it gets on.
I think I'd like for us to think about it, take these pictures and think about it a little more.
Well, I think that Rick has a good point. Pick out the few that we like and then circulate it.
I agree.
Don't send all these out, or you'll have...
Well, you know, the same method was used in the corridor study. Said, here they are, rate these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, the diagrams of how they did the corridor through La Pine. So you rated them.
After those few were suggested.
Right.
Not all of them.
No. Right. They've had about 5 of them or so, right. You know, but the same thing works here, and I agree. So... Shall we go around and throw some out? Okay. All of the established, can I get consensus that all of those with established 1910 get laid on the side? Because I agree with Rick in that when it gets down to business card size, you're not going to see it. Now, do we want to get rid of the box on the bottom and just go with the circle?
You mean get rid of small town, bright future?
Well, get rid of that rectangle on the bottom and just go with the circle?
The reason I like doing that is it gives you the option of different tags for different things. You might have maybe sewer and water or some different application,
you could put into there. So. Sewer and water, you could put public works, or you could do something. Mm-hmm. Not generally on a logo, but it would give it.
So what if we had it just a box, and that could be an optional application? You know,
you can have two.
You can have two, and you use them depending on what flyer you're making.
Yeah.
And you may have a box at the top, for instance, you might want to say, welcome, City of La Pine.
Oh, we could have 20 boxes. I mean, 20 different sets.
No, you're having one logo. Yes. I think the focus, I would say, the box
that was a little tongue-in-cheek.
But I mean, the box would be...
I think that would serve. I think you could put down here Public Works, or you could put down here whoever. But it's still the City of La Pine.
Police services.
So what you're really saying is this is the logo, and that's an extra when you want to use it.
Yeah.
Use it somewhere else.
Yeah.
And we're going to save them on the computers. And then if she puts it in a format that you can go in and change the tagline, like Word, whatever she's published, I don't know.
So do we have a consensus that we want to...
What if we had one option of with these dates and without the dates? I mean, if you're going to come up with a couple options.
Well, I think it gets back to the fact that you get it down to letterhead size and you get it down to business card, you're not going to those will not serve us.
So really, we're not going to have, then this will be the option without the numbers.
Right.
That's about where we're at.
Well, yeah.
When I was going through this, I picked this one right off.
Yeah.
I figured this one was the one that I liked the best. And the next one I thought would be with the tagline, Small Line, Bright Future. That was the two that I picked out of when I was with them.
So we are at the point of using this for a multiple use of some fashion, like public works.
Yeah. Put a tag.
And then this one being our regular standard. Stu?
I don't like the idea of changing the tag. It either needs to be, I think this one with the small town bright future, because no matter what, we're always going to have a future. You know, we're not going to be standing still. Lapine is always going to be looking to the future. We're going to be growing constantly. I don't think we need to, I wouldn't want to get rid of the bright future.
Don?
Well, like I said, those are the two that I picked to begin with, and I'd be happy with either one of them. I think they're both outstanding designs.
Let's take those two and put them around to the community and see what the community thinks.
Are we going to do this year?
Yeah.
We could put it in the paper and people could mail it back or email it back with their selection.
Are we? I have no problem. I mean, I just thinking that. I think that's going to take a while to get done, and maybe it's okay.
Well, how would you do it? Weren't you thinking you wanted to?
Well, I was thinking that the city would decide that, you know, that this is one of these two is what we want to use.
Oh, okay. I thought you strongly wanted to go talk to the community.
Well, I'm saying that we really should get some kind of community involvement in this. But, you know, if we use this one, then this is the one that's out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that the community comments would follow this. So I don't know. Let me finish.
Can I make a comment?
Sure. Let me go to Karen over here first.
Okay.
Don.
Sure.
I'm Karen Ward. I live in the city of Lapine. That's my favorite one right there. That's what we've had all along with that new sign. But I would like to see you put some place on there, whether it be below the Lapine, but it needs to say Oregon. Believe it or not, even though we love this place, know where it is, not everybody does. So it needs to say Lapine in Oregon.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Don?
I was going to make a comment that when we decided on our pin that you saw, one of the things was cost, and we didn't care what it cost, because this is what you see when you come into Lapine. You see City of Lapine, Small Town, Bright Future. Now, one of the things that we never thought of when we went that way is that we do a lot of traveling and, you know, and trade pins, and when I go to California, I bring my pins along and that, and maybe it's, everybody knows I'm from Oregon, but it doesn't say so on Lapine, so possibly it might say, you might put Oregon on there somewhere. And the pin traders, I mean, there's 200,000 of them in the Lions, you know, and associated with Lions. And the more you get these pins out, I think it should say Oregon.
One thing, you know, if you look up Lapine on the internet, you'll find the whole string of Lapine, so it isn't a unique name just to Oregon.
No, you know, when we set up the Dutch Oven Society, and we sent our paperwork in to the international organization, we got set up in Lapine, Texas. And every time we called them, they didn't know who we were. So there's a point here. You know? It took us years to get out of that. Ted, you had a question.
Yeah, well, I didn't have a question.
Name,
a comment.
Name for the
Ted
record.
Shore, 15640 Cornell Drive, Lapine. I'm saying that I tend to agree with the fact that the city sets up its logo. Forget about all other input. Forget about other organizations. They'll set up their own logo the way they want and make it plain and simple so you recognize it. And bite the bullet and do it. Yeah. You know, instead of waiting to get input from everybody else and their uncle.
Mayor.
So I've always
previous Councilor Adele.
Yes. Adele McAfee, Willow Creek Loop and Ben. I have always been a proponent of this symbol because it was a community collaborative effort to get the park in. There was contributions everywhere, and I think that there was a lot of people that weighed in on the design and the logo, and the saw blade was donated, most of the labor was donated. It was truly a grassroots effort.
Thank you. I agree. Jim?
Rick,
name and address.
Jim Fleming. I live off of Maston Road. Rick brought up a good point. When you take that logo that's in front of you, Dan, that one, and you bring it down for a business card or a letterhead, you're not going to read that small print. So if you take that other one where it says small town, bright future, you won't see it. It'll be just a blur because it'll be too small to read. So that my suggestion is on letterheads, business cards, you have the one in front of Dan. If you want to put an emblem up on the wall or make a banner, use the other one. And make sure it's in color, because the color on a letterhead will just pop right out, I think.
Okay. And Mayor Kitty?
Kitty Shields, 51540 Shields Drive. I'm all for simplicity on these things. And my business experience tells me the same thing. If you look at our business ad, it's very simple, and that's one of the first things that a new customer always tells me, is that they look at the ad, they see just what they want to see. If they have more questions, they'll ask me. If I want to put that ad out somewhere else and embellish it with something, I can do that. So if you have just this, I'm not real sure whether the dates would print out or not, if they would be real legible or not. It would depend on the program you use and how clear and crisp that might be. So that would be something to try. I would like to see it with those dates in there, even for letterhead business card size, if it would work. If not, it's another one of those things that whatever mode you're using this in, you can use that as an embellishment. There's plenty of room under here to put Oregon. So I just think City of Lapine, I love this. City of Lapine, Oregon would be great. Put this in if you want to, and the rest can be, you know, put out around depending on whatever medium you're using to get your message out.
Mr. Mayor, someone else. You know, business cards now you can do about anything. I just pulled mine out and you know, you can do the full logo on the front and then all your information on the back. You could have your established, you know, your phone numbers, email addresses, all on the back with the other information on the front. So that would take care of your business card problem. You know, your letterhead, you know, it's a little bit bigger, so you wouldn't have a problem with that. So I still think that would be your best.
I think if we get to the, thank you, Stu. I think if we get to the idea of a business card, it ought to be simple. Mm-hmm. Because when you hand somebody your business card, all they want to know, you're from Lapine, your name, your phone number, and your email address. They could care less about, you know, turning the card over. In a business, it's a little different. But here at the city, I don't think this established 1910, incorporated 2006. First, it won't come out, but Jim Fleming mentioned about, you know, have this as the logo, and then if you're going to do a banner, sure, you could do something like this. That would also lend itself to, you know, any derivation of this if you choose to do that. So, and I agree also with Ted. You know, it's becoming apparent that, you know, let's go ahead and do this, and yeah, let the city follow. The other organizations follow.
I agree 100%. Let's get her done. But, I love that, but this is going to be the city's emblem. Okay? Anything added to it, like the Lions Club underneath it, they would have to come to the city.
It's not copyrighted. Well, I was told that yesterday.
Then what's going to happen if you're going to have this?
It can proliferate anywhere in the city, or I can't see how we could. We don't have a copyright. It's
been given. It's a gift that's been designed and given to us as a community.
Okay.
By okay. Renee designed it.
I'm
okay.
I've asked several people, and I haven't had her tell me that. But and I'm assuming that you've heard her say that. But it's a well circulated picture that is a result of people taking pictures of this, you know.
But then we have no control if it shows up someplace we don't want it to show up.
There's a lot of cases like that. I mean, seriously. I mean,
but as a city,
right?
Because it will say City of Lapine.
We would have to make some kind of uniqueness to this, and then copyright it to protect it.
Well, do other cities do that? Do you know?
I really don't. Oh, I'm not sure that, you know, that could be a
liability.
You know, you can wait and see if it's a problem.
Okay.
Deal with it. In other words, I'm not sure that some weird group is suddenly going to take the City of Lapine logo. I'm trying to think of the other cities I know, whether or not other people in town use them maliciously against the city's will. I've never ever heard of that coming up.
Okay.
Not saying it doesn't happen, you know, but
I'm not aware that it does. I know you want to protect your email addresses, domain, things of that nature, if you can. I've not seen it as a problem.
It says City of Lapine in that part of it. If someone else uses it with a half moon, they've used it around town. I mean, you can't really control that. They aren't going to put City of Lapine on it, probably. Most people aren't going to want to say they're the city.
There was an instance in Kitty, I think you were there.
Glory Water.
Our first year, we had someone on a lawnmower that put a machine gun on there and dressed as a City of Lapine police chief. And, you know, there was a lot of concern over that. And then it had, you know, we shoot City of Lapine, we shoot somebody. You know, so it does happen. I'm just watching, I'm bringing it up, you know.
Yes. Well, we certainly could go and find out what other cities do with respect to
but for now,
protecting their logo.
Well, yeah. Stu, the one thing, copyright takes a lot of time and a lot of money.
It does.
So the first thing you do is T in it, trademark it. And you just put a little T in down there. that then tells everybody that you at least have a trademark. Because if you were to go use Starbucks logo, I can guarantee you, you're probably going to get sued right away and have a cease and desist order from some lawyer or court. You know, but we're not Starbucks, you know. But however, you know, putting Oregon on there, you're going to have Oregon on everything else that you've got, too. You're going to have it on the letterhead with your address, so you may or may not put Oregon under the Lapine. I've looked at some of the other logos that the cities have, and they don't usually identify the state that they've been in, that they're in. So that's just something, when I was browsing other people's or other cities, they usually just had, you know, city of whatever, but they didn't have the state.
No.
Stu, if you'll remember on that lawnmower thing, Jeremy advised us that we could not stop him from using the words city of Lapine. He just could not present himself as a representative of the city of Lapine.
Right. But you still had that confusion.
I'm ready to hear the will of the council. Do we, I mean, we got to a point where we were pretty well satisfied with the idea of this as our letterhead and logo, and then, and using this, it was suggested about banners, which I think is a good derivation, without these small, well,
as far as those little things, if they're on a business card, you won't see them.
Right.
It's just there. Because what you do is you have a logo in a PDF, and then people wanting to use it will blow it up and shrink it. And so, you know, we may send it out and it's that big, and then the people making posters and things kind of upsize it. If it's a bigger poster, you'll see it. If it's on a business card, you wouldn't even see a white speck probably. So they won't be able to read it, but it's still in the logo. Is what would happen.
So you're suggesting we just leave that in there?
I would. I mean, that really won't be that big of an issue, okay. I think. You know, also you can try a box of them. You can tweak things a little. I think you're, maybe, you know, you need, whether you get a trademark or a copyright or something, those are all things that can happen. I mean, you need to narrow your topic if you're going to be all over the moon here. What do you want in the logo? Mm-hmm.
Right.
The other can follow later.
And right. We can tweak it if we have troubles. If we need to take out the next box of cards, you just take it out. I mean, you know, logos change all the time a little bit. So really to help move it along, I think you pick your what you want, and then, you know, we'll be able to go from there. And if someone makes a motion, seconds it, then you'll be able to kind of narrow those options.
I'd entertain a motion. On the discussion we've already completed, having this as our letterhead, and this as a let's call it a other use, okay.
I'd make a motion that we use the one without the banner as our standard logo. I'd also like to ask that we ask Renee to give us the exact specifications on that so it can be printed on signs or in any application so we have the exact specifications so it's consistent in its application as far as color and design so that we do have that consistency as we go around. So my motion would be that we adopt that as our city logo, the one that's round without the banner on it, and leave ourselves with the option to have a banner if it's appropriate. But that'd be our main, primary, basic logo.
For cards,
how many sentences letters did you make for that?
Well, so I'll say it one more time. The round saw blade without the banner or the base.
Well, we're in a work session, so we don't get to make a motion. So, okay, what right. You, I guess, really just.
Well, I was asking consensus. For consensus.
Yeah, but I said.
Really, that's what I.
Okay, so
you said something about motion.
Yeah.
So that's my feeling is that we adopt something standard and we can always, you know, modify it, but we need to get the colors consistent so it's always the same, whether we put a sign on the building or a sign on wherever we use it.
Okay.
I thought you asked for a motion.
Yeah. Well, I did, but really in a work session, we're just going with consensus.
Well, I like this one too. I think that's the best one for us. If there's any addition to it, the state might be something that you'd want to put on, but basically I think this is what we want.
It doesn't mean we can't use that.
No. That's just this,
with a banner on it.
So the question for consensus is that we have this as our logo for all of our
just one. That's what they're saying, right?
That be our primary, and for special applications, you have the ability to do a label or whatever is what I...
For the small town,
to add a
bright future?
Mm-hmm. So business card wouldn't have that.
Right.
And your letterhead might not have that, but maybe a certain department would have that, the police department or whatever. I mean, we can leave that option open. I don't even know if we have to make a decision on that, but to me, that's our primary question.
I think I agree the same way. If we decide later on that some department, if, for instance, the Public Works Department, if they want a business cards with Public Works on it, add the box underneath, let them put Public Works on it. But as far as the city is concerned, for just the city, that's the one that I feel we should use.
Well, I think you know, along that lines, I think you're right, because you'll see on somebody's business card this whole thing about, you know, this is who it is, this is the job, and this is the department they work in. Mm-hmm. So that really answers the idea of business cards.
No consensus.
No, I mean, that's fine. There's three of you, but I like the base.
So you'd like to have a tagline always with it?
Always. Yes.
I love the tagline. I just don't know if it's
because,
a simple one.
Well, yeah. You know, there's three, so that's fine. I'm just letting you know that I like that because I think we're a small town. And we're always going to be looking to the future, and it gives it a base, a round circle, a round saw blade. I mean, for me, this has more...
Good point.
More appeal, thank you, yeah. It adds class compared to, you know, from a distance, oh, the sun behind the mountain, you know, I just like the base. I'm sorry.
No.
So we are at a point where I think we can move forward and bring this to the council. While we don't have consensus, we can bring it to the council.
You could have your new city manager order up a box. We need a couple. We could get a box with the Bright Future and one without. Again, it isn't going to kill someone to hand out some without the Bright Future on it. And we could see, you literally touch them, feel them, and you look at them. Because you know, the bigger fight often is how you lay out the names, and do you put it down one side, do you center them in the middle, and all the rest of the things that go in a business card. So you could, if you trusted your new city manager, we could have them by your next meeting on the 14th to order up some. And then, like say, once you've decided on that, you could have a box for somebody without that on it, and they probably would be okay. And then he'll give you an idea of what's it going to look like.
I trust him to do that.
A volunteer to play around with. We have Publisher as a software program. If I can download that into a business card, and then we can fiddle around with it and then give you options.
Okay. I think we're at the point of where Rick's suggestion to the city manager and the staff is to go off and work on this.
Sure.
And bring one back, or two back, one way and one the other, and we'll make a decision. And
that's the next time that
yeah.
Okay. They get the vote. Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
A comment around just that, do we have a policy about business cards? About buying them for the counselors and for the
I don't know
staff
the policy, but it's certainly behooves all of us to have business cards, to be able to hand them out, because, again, that's just one of our many strategies for letting people know that we exist and outreach.
Okay.
Just as this gentleman here said, you know, he likes to take these little lapel signs
pins,
around
yeah.
and trade them with the other Lions Club. Why? Because it helps promote not only the Lions Club, but, you know, it's fun to share who you are and your sense of identity with other people. Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll put something together for you folks.
All right.
Thank you.
High school student to sit on city council. I have talked to the principal and to the assistant principal, and we are in a transition period. They both agree that this is a great idea. They would like to program it to start in September. Like to put some policy, the city develop some kind of guidelines to make it work.
Rick and I talked about this earlier, and if that's the druthers of the council, the mayor, what we do is we look around and see what other jurisdictions do that have a student serve in some capacity as sort of an ad hoc member of the organization, and you know, just how does it work and how effective does it work? And but I want to say this, that truly it's important to have your youth have an active role in your community, because if they don't feel that way when they get old enough, they'll vote with their feet and they'll vote to go someplace else. And you need them to continue to sponsor the traditions of community. So anything you can do to invest in your youth is just a positive step forward.
I can tell you that when I brought this up to them last year, they were excited about it. Time got past us, and then when I brought it up to them again this year, the end of last year, in the new school year, they were extremely complimentary about the city being a partner, that the city wanting to participate with the youth. And I think that goes to what you're talking about, just it is important to engage them. I think it's a valuable program. I can't see that we couldn't, there's nothing, you know, I think we're going to find out a lot of information about, you know, what other cities do and how they do it and how successful it is. I think the success comes sometimes from how much effort's put into it by the organizations, both the school and the city. But we have all these signs all over town that we support our youth. And I just think it's a program that we could adapt that would speak volumes to that, so
and
that's
If I were a youth, I would want you to hear out loud what it is we really need. I mean, because I'm hearing all from all these adults what it is that the youth need in this community. I think it's more important that we understand from a youth's perspective what it is they think that we need. We get a better outcome from that effort.
Can I hear consensus that we have the staff go off and research this and bring us back a presentation on how we could adopt this to meet our ideas?
Yep,
I agree.
Okay, thank you. And item 6 is Rick Allen's contract addendum, and you have a copy of it, I believe.
This is, you guys asked at the last meeting to have this drawn up, and just got it set up. And so it was a chance for you to talk about it, and so we would have it on our agenda the 14th. We talked about titles and things, and so what it is it's the same contract we had, other than it's $2,500 a month. It is month to month, so again, if you decide that you don't need it or there's not any work to do or whatever your druthers are, can give notice. And it was the interim public works director, because that's where you want me to work, is to continue with the sewer and water issue, and that's basically our public works that we're trying to create. And then Steve would take on the rest of that upon the actual merger in July at some point. And once we're up and running, and it's really getting through this next 4 months was the thought that the council.
Well, I think that it goes right to what we need to be looking at. There's a great deal of work in public works between now and I'll say 1 July, or even past that. You know, we've got roads to deal with. We've got all kinds of issues. We've got a new public works committee that's on board now, and I actually believe they need guidance for the first few months, and there'll be issues that needs to be laid out to them, and I know that with Rick there as that director, filling that space, will really put them in a position to lead us forward as a committee as we go down the road.
Mr. Mayor, I haven't read it all for sure yet, but will Rick report directly to the council, or will he report to the city manager?
To the city manager.
Thank you.
Public Works is under the city manager.
Item C under duties and responsibilities says and or, doesn't
it? But it'd probably be up to the council, depending on the issue or what, you know, what's going on. Steve and I would, obviously, I CC him on everything and on it, and, you know, we would talk about it always. It doesn't make any difference to me. I know what I have to do to keep working on it.
The intent is that this is relatively short term, and I think the and or is fine, especially with the transition time that we're, you know, with Steve coming on. And I mean, the thing, I think it's appropriate, but
I've got no problem with it either way.
You know, I read it as sitting at a meeting, making a presentation to the city council as the and or, you know, as a, just one of the staff. So I have no problem with it.
I wasn't trying to make an issue of it. I just wanted to clarify.
I think that was a good question, Don. Yes. No, that was a good question.
I think the day-to-day lines of authority would be through the city manager.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Stu, any comments? Okay. Don?
No, I think, from what I've seen, I think it's acceptable. I'd like to read it further before there's any.
Yeah, we were around.
Yeah. Well, I just would, Dan, do you have anything?
I'm good.
Okay. I just go for the basic consensus that we have to bring this to council for a vote. That'll give us all plenty of time. I've read it. And
this would take effect on the 15th, the day after the meeting, and the other contract would expire.
Right. Okay. Okay. Item 7 is committee representatives and mileage. COIC has a primary counselor, is Don Greiner, and
Kolak.
Well, I'd like to stay with this and pick a secondary. I would like to be on that, but I'm more than willing to. You know, these two individuals work, and you and I. So
Right. We were waiting for the new council member, which would we won't approve till the 14th. That's
oh, okay. Typical. That's why that's open. All right.
Yeah. The issue on the agenda, as they were, was that there's evidently there's some discussion over. It's not. Don't worry about a specific committee. To in one sense, it's when you go off on trips, what's appropriate and what's not, and is the council. In other words, I don't believe there's an issue. Don goes to the CYC monthly meeting, and he turns in mileage. It's what about mileage? And this is really a council discussion as to what if you. It's not my issue, and I don't really have much background on it. But
if you'll remember, you guys had. If you'll remember, Rick, I wasn't turning in any mileage, and we had a discussion about it. You said that it wasn't fair for me not to turn in mileage because there might be somebody else on the council that couldn't afford to go to these meetings. So that's why I've been turning in mileage, and that was the reason.
For yeah. I just assumed everybody was turning in mileage, so well, I think we're comfortable with that. But Stu,
well, we have a vehicle out here, which is available. So I guess my question would be: would it be appropriate at times for council to use that vehicle, or are we covered?
Oh, it's I mean it's insured by the city, so I mean a council member could certainly use it. I mean I think it's. I mean, I think the reality is that when people travel places, they aren't just going to that meeting. And so, in other words, they've taken the time to drive to Bend or Redmond to a meeting, and they may stop somewhere while they're doing that, and they don't really want to have an e-plate with them. And, you know, the equalizing thing, you only have so much time in your life and in your day. And, you know, to, I guess if you could say, well, they should drive down in the e-plate car, do that meeting, come back in the turnaround half hour later, and drive back to Bend to do something else. I mean, that's not so. I mean, I think, look, you know, that's what people do. They'll stop several places when they're, if they're at something. That's, you know, the cost to the city is the same. If it's a legitimate meeting that you're going to, I mean, you can't be out inflating meetings and things to get someone to buy pay your mileage. I have not seen that since I've been here. What's she saying? I don't know where all this stuff's coming from. So these are not mine. This is no one has sat down with me and raised these issues. So. The question she put down is, does the council need to approve all meetings be sanctioned? I think there's been some discussion, probably sidebars, that people turn in mileage to go to, this is totally fake, an economic development meeting in Prattville. And was that a legitimate trip to go? Should we have sent someone? Because once you've decided to send someone, it's legitimate to turn in the mileage. So I guess that's where it comes from. So that's really a council discussion.
Yeah, it seems to me that we there's certain meetings that we think are important to do. It should be no problem to actually budget in advance what it would take to pay for mileage to go to those meetings of one a month or whatever there is. And then, you know, if there's something special outside of that, then we would say, well, we would get approval from the council to say, well, there's a special thing over at Salem that maybe we should send somebody.
That would be highly unusual that we would have to wait for a monthly council meeting to get approval for
something special.
That's pretty micromanaging. In other words, mayor's conference or this council has it, I mean, the mayor's day.
You don't know Salem. Those come up, though, a year ahead or whatever?
I'm just saying, again, I don't know that people would know. Dan, it would be unusual that we would, on an agenda item, say, I'm willing to pay for Don Greiner to attend the CYC, on behalf of CYC, attend the legislature because they have a bill before the legislature.
Okay.
I mean, you can, but that is getting down into
I'm just looking at a way to make it consistent so you actually had it in your budget.
Well, I'm trying, that's not a budget problem. To be frank, this is a work session. I think I sense some tension amongst the council over an individual or two traveling to things that others might not think are appropriate. Maybe okay. That's a better way to say this.
Okay. Well, I wasn't aware of that, but I'm just looking for a way to get it.
So I'm trying to be polite and political, but okay. I think that's the issue.
I think there's an honor system here, and that is if you folks are legitimately doing something on behalf of the city and it's an out-of-pocket expense, it ought to be compensated. All right, it's an honor. So you folks serve the public. When you take that oath of office, that's the honor that backs the pledge of what you do. I don't think we need to, certainly the staff doesn't need to go any further in the scrutiny of what you folks do. It's your prerogative based on your honor.
I'm that's exactly where I am. I'm not aware of any tension around some of us going to meetings and others thinking that, well, is that person going or not? I think we've had a very good system. People go to the meetings they're assigned to. There's once in a while one comes up. There's one coming up here on the 9th of next month, which is the EDCO business meeting. You know, I mean, there will be meetings, and I've gone to meetings. You know, I will also say that I schedule lunches with people who are important for the city, and I go to Ben to have these lunches. I don't file expenses for that because I felt it was something I needed to do to further our relationship with this, the leader of an organization or something like that. So, but I think that we've had a very good record of people going to meetings, charging the mileage. I wasn't aware that there was something out there that we needed to develop some kind of tight system.
I generally have something else to do, so I don't know if I've ever filed my own. I don't think I have, but I would if it was a special long distance thing or something. But if I just Bend or Redmond or Madras, well, generally I'm doing something on the way for myself, so I just do it. I just thought maybe there was some problem or something.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's what I do. And I think, Ken, you and I have had that discussion. I asked you how you determine which meetings you go to and which meetings you don't. And now that, you know, you just brought up, you pick out the meetings you decide to go to. Well, which meetings are those?
Well, how I meant that was is I have some committee meetings that I go to. Mm-hmm. You know, COAC. I'm going to go to COIC with Don on the next one, and he's driving, so I don't need to charge mileage or anything. Mm-hmm. But I have these set meetings that the mayor goes to or that I'm assigned to.
Right.
To represent the city. I may, like, I'll give an example, Annette Leba. When I met her, she's the governor's regional coordinator for solutions team for Central Oregon. I wanted to talk to her some more, so I asked her to lunch. Mm-hmm. And I met her in Bend. I drove up there and met her. And that was something I felt the mayor ought to do. But I didn't, since it was my own idea, I didn't file a mileage fee for it. I mean, you know, I guess I don't have a problem with somebody doing that. I mean, if it was a meeting that somebody you got invited to by another organization, mm-hmm. and it was 3 days after you got invited to when that meeting's going to be, I think you should go and charge mileage. I mean, it's like city manager said, this is an honor system, and I'm comfortable the way we've been doing it.
I'll say you this, I might charge a mileage to go to Redmond where I go up there, but I'm stuck for a hotel bill and meals too, and that isn't on the expense of, the only expense that's on is when I'm told what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm. I guess I would say one more thing is that, you know, Dan, I know that you go off and do other little things. Mm-hmm. Well, when I go to Redmond, you know, I may stop at the Walmart or something, mm-hmm. but my intent is going up there.
Yeah, that's a reason.
Now, if it happened to be on a day that I was going to Walmart up there or one of those big stores and the meeting was there, I wouldn't charge either.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's fair for somebody that's doing city business not to charge. Mm-hmm. I know when I was on the council a time before, the issue come up about a city employee that was running around town doing city business and just taking it out of her pocket. I had a problem with that, seriously, because we have a system for that person to be compensated for, you know, it's just like the rest of it. I mean, it may be small mileage and everything, but it's still, we have a system to keep everything square. So, and really, that's all I've got to say about this.
You know, in the 20 months I've been here, there's not been any abuse of any kind. And I think it's folks that, it's really up to you to decide if you need to go to a because maybe one of you needs, maybe there's snow dot training or there's something that, because you're not as into that, but you want, some council people are active, some are less active. You know, so what we want to do is have a policy that says we pay, right now it's 50 cents or something, whatever it is, a mile.
51, I believe.
51. Uh-huh. But whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
Go, and you turn it in. I don't know that a councilman needs to ask another councilman whether or not I need to go to a training session. If you start to see abuses, then that's, I guess, and you question it. But you're each elected. You know, and some of you, you have different opinions, different, you represent different groups in the community. You're not a team in the sense of you all go to just the same meetings and you all run in the same circles. The idea is you run in different circles, and you do. Don wants to go to small cities. He likes that. He's going to Maupin. You know, you may be uninterested in that or whatever. I mean, there's been no abuse. I think there is no problem.
I
think you guys have been very good about, you know, not running up the numbers at all. And, you know, obviously, if you're going to go spend the night in Redmond, no. You know, that's then an abuse of the system. If you're going to stay, she's going to pay for it.
And let me say another one.
You're right.
You folks are ambassadors, and you define your ambassadorships.
That's right.
And some of you have different perspectives on being an ambassador of the city. But your ambassadorship may take you any number of places for any number of reasons to grow the city.
This is absolutely true. I'd like to use one example, and it's Stu, and it has to do with safety and disaster planning and everything. Well, this guy eats and sleeps this. And when he goes to Ben and sees these people, I mean, he's probably going on other business, and I'm sure he doesn't write anything out. But you know, it's just like you said. He's in a different. I mean, that's his circle of things that he's involved in. That still is represents the city, and he has his way to deal with it. So.
Well, and yeah. I'm about like Dan, and I've never turned in any mileage requests, and I did the same at the fire district. So,
but you know, you have to be careful. My thought on that is that that's fine, but I don't know that anyone else should be made to feel guilty because they do, mm-hmm. because otherwise what you're saying is only those who have disposable income or something, because say where you have, I own businesses. So when I was mayor, I never turned in mileage. But I had other ways to write it off and do it. I wasn't retired. But I think it's totally appropriate for the next mayor to do that. And I think that what happens, there's a little peer pressure. So I think we need to be careful. If you two choose not to turn it in, You don't want, we're going to appoint this lady. We don't know her financial situation. She's retired. She goes to Ben to a meeting. She might need to turn it in.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that's what makes this always difficult. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's a legitimate trip, you have a right to turn it in and you shouldn't feel bad about it. If you choose not to, that's fine too.
Yeah.
But as long as it's a legitimate expense and a legitimate trip, you do it. And then if you, like you said.
But when you're in business for yourself too, you have a way that you can write off some of that stuff. For instance, if he's going to Bend for some reason, for a disaster meeting or something else, he can write that off as a donation in his business. And I think that that's entirely a legitimate thing for him to do if that's what he wants to do. But I don't have a business, and I have no way to write anything off. And I'm not complaining. I'm not hurting. I can afford to go to these meetings. But I go back to what you told me to begin with, and that's why I started turning in mileage requests.
Good. Adele had raised her hand, Mayor.
Yes. So I just wanted to bring up the fact that each and every one of you approves each and every expenditure.
You're right.
At the on the consent agenda, and if you have an objection, then you can bring it up at that time.
Sure.
Well put. Good input. Any further comments? Have we beat this to death?
I about think.
So, I one more comment that I have. The last thing I had was 50 cents. I think it's on our transfer. It's on our expense forms.
That's right. It is.
And I think it's up to staff, I think it should be up to staff to keep that expense form up to date in correspondence with the IRS.
Okay. Well, my most recent understanding is it's 51 cents now.
Okay, okay. I'm sure that I just...
We'll do that tomorrow.
Yeah, look it up and just...
Sure. Because all the forms right now have 50 cents.
That's right.
Well, it's kind of like stamps. Just when you get comfortable with the stamp, mm-hmm. then it goes up another penny.
Yep.
At this time, I'd like to go into public comments. Okay. Adele?
I thought I'd make the trip worthwhile. I haven't seen everybody. From time to time, I check the agenda, and something did perk my interest, and it was the addendum to Ray Gallen's contract. And the only logical conclusion you can bring from that would be that we were going to have two city managers. So when I got the contract, I was surprised to see that it was for an interim public works director, which is it's a new job, and it was a job that has never been within the city before. So I would offer my comment is that it probably would have been, it's a lot cleaner instead of trying to make an addendum to a contract that was never intended to be a public works director. It was intended to be an interim city manager. So, you know, not any keep it clean, keep it transparent, and just do another complete contract. So, that's
okay.
Just my comment.
Thank you. Any other public comments?
One over here.
Vicki Jackson, 17346 Main Court. I guess this is an addendum to an addendum to an amendment to a contract that was originally supposed to be only 6 months that has turned into 20 months. And I believe the new city manager, he has extensive experience, who's managed like a $1 million project, that I would think he would need minimal supervision or help. So I would like to see this contract be very short, and it sounds like it'll be short, hopefully. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any Other comments? Terry? Name and...
Terry Lankinson, 51530, Highway 97. I was just on this deal with Rick. Is it something that the city, the water and the sewer should look into, since he's going to the public works, that they might step in and pick his contract up to help run, because he's going to go into the public works? Is this something that he can come in and help us get set up? Or
this is,
I would think there'd be a conflict of interest. That'd be my first thought. Yes, he's representing the city, and yet he's over in another jurisdiction where he has no authorities, because those authorities aren't with. There'd be a commingling of authorities, and there'd be a conflict of interest.
Thank you.
It's a good.
Okay,
it's a good. Well, good thought, though.
Thanks, Jerry.
But it's a good thought. You know. And it's a generous thought, too.
Don't get many of them
for me. Don't short yourself.
That's right. That's right. Hearing no further public comment, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
I shall move.
I'll second that.
This was my last agenda. The next agenda will be his, so he'll be able to tell you all about it.